Welcome to Shetland with Laurie, a podcast dedicated to Shetland, the place and the people, with me, Laurie Goodland, a writer and tour guide based at 60 degrees north. The Shetland with Laurie podcast is for people who have visited Shetland, or who would like to visit, or for those who would just like to know a little bit more about life here. So welcome, I'm so glad you're here. Hello and welcome back to the final episode of series 2 of the podcast. Today is going to be the final show for this series and I'll be taking a bit of a break until the autumn. We're kind of getting into summer here in Shetland. It's June and it just kind of feels like the time that we should be out and about a bit more. We're starting to see a few more visitors around and things are just always quite busy here in the summer. So I'm having a summer holiday from the podcast and hopefully come back in the autumn with some new interviews and some new discussions and topics. But today in the show, I am welcoming Anne-Marie Anderson, who is author of the very popular children's book series Piri Uriks, which is a series of stories that are written in the Shetland dialect and illustrated, and it kind of takes readers through a kind of cultural, historical tour of Shetland using the Uriks, who are the main characters, as the kind of telling the narrative. So the stories will take you maybe to the peat hill or just talk you through life on the croft or going fishing. So they give a really nice insight into life in Shetland, particularly kind of traditional life, and a look at the dialect too. And again, as with the last episode, I'm focusing quite strongly on the language, and in this episode Anne-Marie and I are speaking in our native tongue. So as with last week's episode, or the last episode, it's taken me a few weeks to do the edit on the podcast. It's been a busy time. But as with the episode with Chloe Irvine, we will be speaking in the dialect, so you might struggle to understand some of the words. But as I said before that episode, if you just listen through and get a kind of feel for it and try and tune in your ear and then maybe go back to the beginning and listen again, and I promise you, you'll be surprised at how much you are able to pick up and understand if you just listen again and just tune in your ear. So we touch on lots of different subjects. We speak about Anne-Marie's writing. We speak about dialect and whether it's important to save it. We speak about the kind of challenges it's facing. We speak about the peat hill and her work for Shetland for Words, which is an organisation that kind of is been established to safeguard and promote the dialect in Shetland. So there's lots in today's show, so I think we'll just dive right in and welcome Anne-Marie. So Anne-Marie, I would like to welcome thee onto the podcast and thank you for agreeing to come and speak to me today about language.
Oh, thank you for having me, Laurie. It's a pleasure to be involved.
Before we kind of start, could you start by introducing thyself and just tell us a pretty bit about Anne-Marie?
Okay, so my name is Anne-Marie Anderson and I'm originally from the west side of Shetland, the Piri Pliskad Grooting, and I moved to Hwalsa and married, and I've been here for nearly 20 years, so yeah, it's been a while.
Last week on the podcast we actually spoke to Chloe Irvine and she is from Hwalsa, so we got a good tasting of the Hwalsa accent. Is it something that just picked up living there?
I didn't see it myself, but I think my family certainly hears a broader dialect within me. I think it's just because I'm surrounded by it the whole time. Can me husband and me in-laws, me bairns, and the folk that bides here, they are speak in dialect, and we just pick up words and pronunciations, and I think when you're, especially on an island, you're, yeah, just surrounded by it the whole time.
Yeah, I can certainly hear it when we're speaking, and I'm going to leave a disclaimer at the start of this podcast to say that we're kind of speaking Shetland as well, rather as trying to canap or speak English, because I think it's nice for people to hear the different accents.
Mm-hmm. I find it awful hard to canap, because I kind of think of the English words that I'm needing to say. Because the Shetland dialect, some of the Shetland dialect words can mean a whole like sentence, like one word can mean a whole sentence.
Yeah, they're really descriptive. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I struggle too. You have to kind of search a bit deeper for the words. What is it that you does, or what's thy role?
So I started needle felting way back in 2011. We Shetland Ooh and Pieces of Fair Isle for Jimison Susannas. And I started creating this pretty character called Urux. And I kind of started thinking, what is an Urux and what do they do and where do they bide? And I kind of was speaking to our lasses and trying to, at bedtime you're speaking about it. And then I realised that the was not only Shetland dialect books for preteens, we picked it in it that was easy to understand and easy to follow. Because there's like loads of Shetland dialect poetry for preteens, but they're on just in black and white. There's no like vivid pictures to kind of capture the bairns' imaginations. So I saw a gap and how I could fill it. And so I wrapped the first book in 2015, that one came out. So yeah, it just kind of spiraled for there, and knew I had 5 books. So it kind of writing a pretty bit about Shetland culture as well, and their heritage, like the Pit Hill and the fishing and crafting life as well. So it kind of gives a pretty history lesson to preteens, and speaks about words associated with adult things.
And Uruk, is that a Shetland word, or is an Uruk something that Du has come up with?
No, Uruk is a Shetland dialect word. It means small person or nonsense or rubbish. So which is kind of what they are. They're pretty folk, and they're made out of scraps of ooh, so they're kind of made out of the pretty bits of leftovers. And Uruks and ooh, it's kind of fits together.
Yeah, and they're quite mischievous too. They've got big personalities.
Yeah, and when I first read, there's 5 Uruks that appears in the book. And when I started, I get around the skills in Shetland, promoting the dialect through my books. And the bairns started wondering, what's this Uruk's card? What's their names? And I thought, oh gosh, I'll have to name them. And then I'll have to write more books. And then I thought, what am I going to call them? So that's where the next book followed on, the Uruks and the Pit Hill. And you find out that twa the Uruks is called Rusk and Baldur, which is dialect words as well. Rusk is, he's quite angry, pretty ferocious, pretty Uruk. And Baldur's kind of, he's a bit clumsy, and yeah, Baldur's around.
No, carry on.
So it's, so you get to see a pretty insight into the Pit Hill for an Uruk's point of view, no, for a human's point of view.
And actually, like they said that they were written for bairns and they're kind of educational and they tell a kind of history or a narrative too. But actually, they're fantastic for anybody, especially maybe like a kind that I have a lot of international listeners and something that they're always interested in is like the pit hill and how we work pits in Shetland and why. That's something that people would get a really good insight in, no matter what age they are.
Yeah, and like so I only really speak about the really the casting and things like that. But I mean, if they wanted to look more deeper into it, then they can see that. I mean, the pit going to the pit hill was such a well a huge thing, especially when I was pretty. You were there the whole time, and if they wanted to look more into it, you could see about the resin and the bagging and the tack and heme, and it's just a huge partnership on the life.
Yeah, did you spend all your summer holidays in the pit hill too?
Yeah, we were one of the younger families in Grutting, and we would have to go to the Alderings and give them a hand with their pit. So we spent the whole summer in the pit hill.
Yeah.
And we bayed near the Stenydale Temple, and me and my pretty brother would dive off to the pits and run over to the Stenydale Temple and play there for a pretty while, and then come back and here we're twal and just playing the gutter and in the mould. We just loved going to the pit hill.
Yeah, we were the same. We had a pit hill on the Wasp. Yeah, so we grew up in Was for a few years, and so we had a pit hill out there, and it was brilliant fun. We didn't do much work really, but we spent a lot of time playing in the loch and swimming in the loch, and it was good memories, but it is hard work, the pit hill.
I'm never actually tried to cast. I keen when I was pretty, my father gave me a shot at a Tuisker and half of me pits ended up in the graph, so that they just didn't let me carry
Yeah,
on.
my pretty boy Hansie, he got a Tuisker for his granny last Christmas, so he casts his own pretty bank, so he does it.
Oh,
But
wow.
as well, the Urukh's book, especially like the pit hill, then you've got the illustrations as well, so it kind of does bring it to life and helps people see the process too.
And I think well, my grandfather makes an appearance in the book because he was kind of my inspiration for putting them to the pit hill. And it's right fine to have like a human inside the story so that folk can get the size of what the Uruks actually are.
Yeah, and I was going to ask, are the characters inspired by people that you came or?
No, I think well. See, my pretty sister drew the Uruks. I needle felted them and shared a photo of what they were, and then she created the characters. So she has them. Can one of them is quite grumpy, and one of them's kind of bashful, and one of them probably is a pretty bit like dwarf, the seven dwarfs, I
Oh,
suppose.
yeah.
With this the five Uruks.
Yeah. And they're written in the Shetland dialect, and that's something that Dave feels quite passionately about, and the kind of protecting the dialect and the language and promoting it and preserving it. So why does he think it's so important to protect Shetland dialect? Or is it important?
Well, it's very important. It's I can see that the Shetland dialect is a dying one. It's which is a right shame. I suppose being here a while, so I didn't notice it so much because everybody is speaking the dialect around me. But when I gang out to the schools I can see that there's not as much dialect being spoken. There is certain areas, Trow Shetland, that the dialect is awful strong. And I just hope they can head on to it.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoy going around the schools, and it's so lovely to hear the Pirines having a pretty go at the dialect words, and the teachers as well, they love listening to it as well. And I've also gone around the care centres. I did that. I did workshops through Shetland Arts and Care, and even speaking to them, it was just right fine. Can I write them the stories? And it brought them back memories and things about things they used to do and do a period about going to the Pit Hill and Crofton or going to the Craigs. And it just kind of, they started speaking about kind of life when they were pretty. And what I did think was a pity was that if I asked them if they still used certain words or things, and they said that they did not use your word any more. And I said, oh, why do you not use it? And they said, well, no, nobody could understand me, so I had to alter my tone. And so they kept on using the word that they were understood saying. And I think that's where it's a shame, and that's where you start losing the dialect is when you start changing your tongue so that you're understood. And I think it's a shame that it's not either way around, that maybe folks should maybe be intrigued by the word and what would happen if they actually started using the dialect word, kind of switching it.
Yeah. I mean, I think back to when I was at school, and I mean, it's not so many years ago, but there was kind of good proportion of the bairns at school that spoke in the dialect. And knew when you go and speak to bairns, it is more unusual to find them speaking in dialect in certain areas.
I do think that I mean, folk are changing their tongues so that they are understood better, and I do think the TV and iPads and iPhones has had a huge impact on how folk spell and interact with one another. I mean, like I said, iPhones are correcting your grammar if you type in Shetland.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I took that off my phone, and folk likely can't understand what I'm writing to them, but I just spell it how it seems.
Yeah. If you send in a message to somebody, does you write in Shetland dialect?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a not very good thing, but I don't know. I find it awful hard to write in English.
Yeah, I've said this before, but I hardly ever write in Shetland, and it's funny because sometimes I'll be writing a message to somebody, and it's in English, but it doesn't sound right because it's in English and it's not what I'm trying to say. And then you're like got this dilemma. It's like, do I change the whole message into Shetland dialect, or do I just carry on in English and send that?
What to do? But I'm really, I suppose, like, so far I'm sending messages to the whole time is Flickley family, and I don't know. I just don't have them. I had to write in English. I find more of a flow with my dialect writing.
And what do you think are the biggest kind of challenges to the dialect?
Like, maybe probably just being understood.
Mm-hmm.
I can, like, so when Fock visit, then I do find that I hate a slow kind of Fock intrigued by what are they saying, and they'll maybe ask you at the end of your conversation, well, what was your word, or what's this, or they'll compare the languages, and we use your word here, and what do you use, and just spark a dialect conversation off.
And do you think that for a non-Shetland speaker, do you think that, because most of the folk that will be listening to this podcast will probably be struggling with what we're saying, but do you think that that a non-dialect speaker can pick up the language and understand it?
Certainly. I think there's something just awful lovely just listening to the Shetland dialect. It's easy on the lung. And I apologise for if Fox not understanding what I'm saying.
No, I think it's good though, because it does, it gives an example of how it's spoken and what it sounds like, and I think that's what a lot of folk want to hear. They want to hear how it sounds, and like you said, it is easy on the lug. It's quite nice to listen. Well, I enjoy listening to the dialect, and I enjoy hearing it spoken. And how do you think we can all help kind of keep it alive and stop it from becoming an extinct language?
Mm-hmm. I think just keep writing and keep speaking Shetland, and then it'd be fair to keep on doing that. Because I think if you've done it, keep doing that, then it will be out. And yeah, read dialect books, and there's so many resources online as well. And yeah, just keep speaking the folk and listening as well is a big thing. And hear pretty go at pronouncing pretty words, or start using dialect words that you maybe didn't use before. Like I'm trying to, instead of saying otter, for example, I'm started trying to say, oh, there's the dratsy. Have you seen the dratsy today? Instead of can using the dialect word for that animal instead of the English word, using the Shetland dialect word.
Yeah. Speaking of authors, it's funny. Arne was in Yale yesterday, my husband. And I said, did you see anything exciting in Yale? And he said, oh, just some sheep and a rabbit and an author. I was like, would the author not be the first one to mention there?
We hate to all Dratsy's doing here. But we see them every day out the window. So I wouldn't like to get too close to them, though.
No. And that's it. The Shetland language has got a name for everything, like all the birds and all the flowers, and some of the words are quite commonly used, like tarrick and bunksy, but other ones, like you say, like dratsy, I mean, most folk would probably just say an otter rather as a dratsy. I wonder why words have kind of kept being used and others have fallen out of favour.
I don't know. That's a really good question. I wonder if it's just the fact they just weren't understood, or maybe they were only used in certain parts of Shetland, maybe not like our.
Yeah, or I suppose as well, you're far more likely to see a tarrick or a shelder than you are to see a dratsy. So
yeah, I saw Fowler tarrick the other day at the beach, so I made straight for the car.
Oh really? It's the fair.
I didn't like them.
I absolutely adore them. They're like, to me, they are just like the epitome of Shetland summer is the sound of the tarrick. I just,
oh, really?
it just makes my heart like swell. It's probably my favourite sound of the year is when I hear the tarrick for the first time and the laverick for the first time.
Okay, no, I'm sorry.
I'm actually getting a tattoo of a tarrick on the back of my neck.
Really?
Absolutely love them. I dislike when you're being dive bombed by them, but I just think they're the soon the summer.
I suppose they are the soon the summer. But yeah, if I see one, I'll gang in the opposite direction. Oh, and Bunksies, that's bad to say.
I'm not a fan of them. And so you kind of mentioned that folk could try using the dialect, and that goes for non-Shetlanders too. I mean, you certainly don't have to be living in Shetland or even face Shetland to try and use the dialect. And a good place probably to start would be with like the Uruk books, because they are, I mean, they're quite short and they're easy to understand, and they use the language too.
Mm-hmm. And then you can also go online to the Shetland for Words website, where you can hear how the words are pronounced. So if folk wanted to give a pretty short winded how to pronounce certain words, then they can head there and hear it.
And speaking about Shetland for Words, this is quite heavily involved we Dame as an organisation. Could you just tell us a bit about For Words and our role within that?
So myself and Bruce Jansson became joint conveners for Shetland for Words last October, alongside our Vice Chair Carolyn Anderson, and sort of 13 members altogether. And Shetland for Words was formed in 2004. And the committee have done an amazing job of creating recorded and printed resources, which can be found on the website. And we recently started up a Shetland for Words social media page. And this is attracted a brand new audience to the dialect. And it's getting folks speaking about it, and it's bringing back poetry and prose that's no been seen for a lot of years. And I think that's what's fantastic about Shetland dialect. It's keeping the dialect alive that way, and it's getting writers back into the limelight that's getting them recognised once again.
Yeah.
Anybody can become a member of Shetland for Words. There's a pretty option on the website that you can click on for just £5 a year, then they can become a member, and they can get pretty newsletters about what we're up to. And it also helps promote the dialect here as well with what we do and support pretty projects.
And this is a difficult question, but what's thy kind of favourite Shetland writer, or one of thy favourite Shetland writers?
Can I pick two?
As many as you want.
I think my favourite is Emily Milne. She's originally for Greeting as well, so I think reading her poetry, I can see where she's, the places she's kind of visiting through her poetry. The other one is Rhoda Boulter. I absolutely love Rhoda's stuff.
I do too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think my favourite is Vagaland.
I should have picked three.
but there's so many, and I think that folk are often surprised just how much literature comes out of Shetland, because we are a pretty island. We're not a big place, but we have some incredible writers that have come to the islands, and as you said, for words are bringing back some of them that have maybe that Uteprint are no longer available, and just bringing them back to the fore, which is fantastic.
It's brilliant, and just promoting it and keeping it in folks' mind, and especially with the social media channels, it's a right fine way to connect with folk. And if folks wondering about anything, they send a pretty message, or if they heard anything, or if they even hear any dialect poetry that they're wanting to get out there as well, it's lovely to see that as well.
And another thing that you organise is kind of events, which have been on Zoom recently, and in some ways that's better for anybody outside Shetland, that they can join in and they can hear people doing readings and like reading poetry and prose, and just sharing their favourites or maybe their own work. And so that's a really fine way that folk can hear the dialect and how it's used.
Mm-hmm. It's been really, I'm really enjoyed doing the gatherings online. Mm-hmm. It's a lovely way for folk to come to events like you and through Zoom for an hour, for an hour of the world coming to listen. And the response that we're had for it has been really good. So hopefully it's something that will maybe continue every now and again.
And anybody that's listening today can just follow Shetland Forwards on social media, and they would be updated about any events that you're doing that they could join in or tune in to as well.
Yeah, that would be great. And then the more the merrier.
And one of my favourite things on the Forwards website is the dialect map, and it's got snippets, so spoken language for every part of Shetland, so it can give you an understanding of how the dialect differs, because it is totally different across Shetland.
Mm-hmm. Every pretty district has their own pronunciations on pretty tweaks on things, and I just love looking at all the different poetry and the spellings and how they're spelt things, because you can see how it's changed over the years and evolved as well. And that's another thing that's getting lost with the words, is the, just we thought maybe speaking more English than the dialect spelling is getting completely lost, because they're spelling more like the English word. Mm-hmm. Just came out of meaning.
Yeah. it's kind of like the dialect is becoming less pronounced, and with that, the way that we're spelling it is changing too. So it's becoming slightly more anglicised.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And before I forget to ask, for anybody that wants to buy the Petite Urix books, where can they find them?
They can find me on Etsy. I'm there. I'm not actually doing worldwide shipping now, but I'm sure I can sort something up out if they drop me a pretty line.
Does the Shetland Times sell them online?
And the Shetland Times sells them as well?
Yeah, so they'll do shipping.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And finally, I would like to ask you, and I've no full warning about this question, sorry. If you had to pick three places or three experiences that folk visiting Shetland could have, what would thy top three be? Sorry, that's a difficult question to ask.
No, one of them would be to go and visit the Senegal Temple.
Yeah, I would second that.
Another one would, there's so many beaches in Shetland, and I think just getting down to the ebb and maybe kind of hawking among other things there, I just find going next to the sea, I feel relaxing.
Yeah.
As long as you don't get attacked by a Turek.
You're watching for less than Tureks.
Yeah. And the third thing. Oh, what could you do? Visit Hwalsa.
I was going to say Anne Marie. That took a moment.
Sorry.
Hwalsa is a brilliant place to go and visit, and I sometimes feel that it's not always on folks' radar when they're planning a holiday to Shetland and thinking about places to go. I think for the most part, visitors and locals too will all head north to Unst.
Yes.
And get to the most northerly island. But Hwalsa is a fantastic island, and you really, really get a strong sense of that community and the language, but particularly.
There's a lovely Piri Museum here.
Yeah.
And I think you could spend the whole day there. And the Hanseatic booth is a lovely Piri place to go as well. Sorry, I'm gone over my three.
But it's all within Hwalsa, so that's okay.
That's true.
And Hwalsa's also got the most northerly 18-hole golf course.
Yeah, it does. I'm walked around it. I don't play golf.
Yeah, I've watched around it too. I never played. But
it's absolutely gorgeous golf course.
Yeah, it's stunning. It's a stunning walk if you're not a golfer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just watch out for the banks.
Yeah. the cliffs.
Yeah.
I'll translate that one for you.
Sorry.
Well, listen, Anne-Marie, thank you very much. And is there anything else that you would like to add in regards to the kind of the language and Shetland dialect in general?
I mean, you can find so much on the Shetland for Words website, and it's such a treasure trove. Poetry and prose and learning resources as well. And I think once you start looking into it, I think you'll find a lot of interest and stuff.
Yeah, there is a huge amount of information on that website, and I'll share a link to the website as well. Thank you very much for
thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming, and I hope that folk understood or at least enjoyed listening.
I hope so.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening. This podcast can only be made possible by my supporters on Patreon, so a huge thank you to all my patrons. If you would like to support me in bringing you more of these shows, you can sign up and become a patron. You will find details about how to sign up in the show notes below or at www.patreon.com and just search Shetland with Laurie. And remember, you can find more on Instagram and give me a follow at Shetland with Laurie. So thank you once again for listening, and we will see you here next time. And in the meantime, safe and happy travels.